Hello and welcome to Unlock Your Vitality with Magalie on a Journey. I'm your host, Magalie Matthew. Here we cover all things vitality, that is living full of energy. From gut health to spirituality, nutrition to movement, we peel back the layers and unlock ways to heal and feel our best selves, one conscious habit at a time. Stick around, let's dive on in. I'm so excited you're here. Hello, my loves, and welcome to another episode of the show. I am so excited for today's guest. We have had a few nutritionist practitioners before. The reason I'm so excited to have Kiara on today is because she mixes both nutritional therapy and somatic techniques and somatic experiencing. I have often talked about my journey of unlocking my vitality, and it started for me with a lot of gut health issues. And so I went the Western route, and then I went the functional route, and then I started understanding a lot of different things about my nervous system. And all of those things can be extremely beneficial to work through together. If you are somebody that is struggling with any kind, whether it's an autoimmune disease or SIBO or IBS or any kind of ways that your body is speaking to you and you've been on the protocols, you've been doing the things, maybe this could be a really helpful option. So I'm so excited to have Kiara on. I am recording these intros. Usually I record them right before, but as I am about to be away, I'm recording them the morning of where I'm going to Hawaii. I'm so excited to be going on a bachelorette for one of my really dear friends. And I ended up choosing to go a few days early for myself. And I shared a post about it on social media. Anytime I talk about like solo travel or doing things on my own, I get a lot of reactions and comments. And I think the one that I did when I did my solo trip a few weeks, I think it was 3 weeks after we got married, people really didn't understand. And I think a lot of this conversation ties into that of just coming home to ourselves. And I think it's a continuous practice. And spending time on our own, in my personal experience, has really, really shown that we're able to listen to our bodies more, especially if there is any people-pleasing tendencies when we're in a group or with other people. And I could feel that, like going into a scenario of a bachelorette where obviously the whole point is for the bride to be the happiest. I was like, ooh, I think it'll be really good for me to just give myself a few days before that as a way to be able to show up as my best self and completely be there for the group and her and everything that needs to happen and just be in this beautiful paradise for a few days. So let's get into the episode. Kiara is a trauma-informed women's integrative health specialist, passionately melding nutritional therapy, advanced functional labs, and profound somatic techniques to pave the way to comprehensive healing. Specializing in aiding women grappling with chronic fatigue, digestive troubles, hormonal imbalances, and systematic dysregulation, Kiara's methods are deeply rooted in her personal health odyssey. This journey illuminated the intricate bond between her emotional and physical being, revealing their inseparability. Oh, I love that. Revealing their inseparability. It's so beautiful. All right, guys, without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the show. I'm so excited for today's guest. I've been following her for a long time, and her journey is super inspiring. I know you're going to love her. Welcome, Kiara, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Magalie. I'm so excited to be here and chat about all the things.
We have so many things to talk about. Let's start with who you are, your journey to becoming the person you are today, and what has brought you to do the work you do.
Yeah, there's a lot. And as any practitioner may also relate to, like, we got here through our own personal experience. I did not anticipate this being the career path that I take. I wanted to be actually kind of similar. Growing up, I always wanted to be like in the medical field. Science and math were not my forte. And I was like, okay, I gotta pick something else. So I ended up majoring in mass communications in school, which is a very like versatile like career path. And it ultimately like kind of did help me in my business. But I got really sick after college and kind of like lingering symptoms all throughout college, but I didn't know. I just thought my symptoms were normal. Like everyone experienced bloat and GI issues. And everyone I asked was like, yeah, I have that too. And like, it's not a big deal. So we just move on. And it just got to a point where we just hit like a wall, like a plateau. Like I couldn't move. I couldn't get out of bed. I was going to the ER and I was like, what's going on? First, you do what you do. You go to the doctor because that's what we're trying to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think they did the best they could. And luckily, I had a nurse practitioner that was like, look, can't help you. We've done all we can. Here's functional medicine. I was like, functional medicine? What is that? And that, like, the doors opened the floodgates for all the rabbit holes, all the digging, all the research. And it was all very exhilarating and fun. Like, wow, my eyes have been opened. And I wanted to spread that message with the world. And what have we been doing? And I kind of was operating from this like fear at the same time, making these lifestyle changes and changing up my diet and incorporating all these new supplements into my life. And it was still from this, and like, this is what happens. This is the path of like a beginner where you do all the things, you change all the things, and you're doing it still kind of like disconnected from your body at the same time. You're just doing what you're told. And kind of just still following the pill for every ill kind of approach. And, you know, that served me. And then kind of again, like I was like, why am I not feeling 100% better? Why am I still bloated? And why do I feel even worse? Like what happened? Because I was like on a stack of like 10 supplements and like I was following this diet and was so like rigid with the way I was living my life. I realized I wasn't living my life. Like I was saying no to friends all because like I needed to like heal and was so focused on healing. You know, I think I needed to go through that process on my own before I started supporting clients a couple years after and I started incorporating labs with them and stuff. Then I realized through my own healing journey and from what I was seeing with clients, like these women needed more than just a few recommendations on how to change their lives, like lifestyle changes and all that. These women are coming to me with deeply rooted wounds that need more than just a few dietary swaps and supplements added to their diet and stuff. And they were also the women who were coming to me after being on the merry-go-round of practitioners and supplements and protocols and all the things. And just kind of again, what I mentioned earlier, like really disconnected from their bodies and still externally outsourcing their health and still not feeling better. So I was like, what's missing? And for me, the missing piece was paying attention to not only my own wounding, but also intergenerational trauma. And that led me down the path of somatic experiencing. So I started that journey in 2021. And it has completely changed my life, to say the least. It's changed the way I relate to my body. It's changed the way I relate to others. And it's just so cool, like reflecting back on like little old me in 2020, just starting to really dive deeper into her traumas and now where I am today and how I'm supporting others through their own experiences and witnessing them as they unravel these layers of themselves too. So in a nutshell, that's what got me to where I am today.
Thank you so much for sharing that journey. And I resonate with so many pieces of it. The first one that you mentioned of not being very good at math and science. When I was 11 years old, I said, I want to become a psychologist. And because at the time, that was the only practice or career that I thought helped people. And I was told, like, oh, first, you're not going to make money if you do that. Like, it's not a good career, whatever society. And then I got to trying to get into college. Like, you're not good at math. To be a psychologist, you have to be really good at math. And so I went a completely different route in the business world and then became an entrepreneur and then back around to a holistic health coach and Reiki healer. It's like, yeah, at 11, I knew that I wanted to help people. So I love that. That's like a similarity. I think it's so funny. And I think life has a way of also connecting the dots and helping us like go through different things that help build eventually who we become. So that's really cool. And the other thing that you mentioned is externally outsourcing our health. I similarly went through a complicated journey of trying to understand what was going on with my gut and was like, you have IBS, you have SIBO, you have early onset Hashimoto's, you have hypothyroidism, you have all these things. And it wasn't until I read Dr. Gabor Mate's book, When the Body Says No, that I was like, okay, there are reasons why my body is speaking to me. And like my intuition was just so pushed down and I was so concentrated on what other people were telling me to take and that 100 lists of supplements like I've been there that I forgot how to listen to my body. Yeah, when it was telling me no, I just like couldn't relate to that. So for somebody who is in that process right now, how do you even start that reconnection with yourself and with your body?
Such a beautiful question. As you were speaking, I was just thinking about the hero's journey and how we kind of have to, just given the way of modern society and how we're pretty much trained from birth to externally outsource whenever we're experiencing something in our bodies, like what's wrong with me? You know, we're not really trained to kind of stay curious about our own inner experience and be that witness to ourselves and learn how to support ourselves. And we're not really taught how to research and be our own best doctor and advocate. And yeah, we're kind of like just kind of set up for failure. I put that in air quotes from the beginning. So I think in a way, we're kind of meant to go externally outsourced to find our way back to ourselves. Because there comes a point where you have that realization. We're like, oh, wait a minute. Like these people supported me in my journey and they were pointing the finger back to me, even though they thought that they had the answer. And my doctor told me that I had IBS and I had to go on low FODMAP and here's this probiotic and do this and do that. And it's like, wait, my intuition was telling me all along, and this is what happens. Like my gastroenterologist told me, you need to get on PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, Nexium, to stop stomach acid production because you have too much and that's what's causing your acid reflux and your IBS like symptoms. And I just remember being like, this feels wrong. This feels off. And so I stopped. I went against doctor's orders and I felt like such a rebel because my mom was in my ear telling me like, no, you can't do that. And I was like, I'm going to do it. It doesn't make sense, but like, I'm going to do it. I have to follow this. And that's when we start to gain a sense of empowerment and we start to take responsibility for our own health and well-being and be our own advocates, like, and just trusting that, even if it's fine. Because at that time, it was like 2016, 2017, Instagram wasn't what it was back then, like what it is today. You know, I didn't have like easy access. We had the internet and that's better than what most people have had in their entire lives. But I was just like, no, this feels wrong. So we get to be the own hero in our life, in our own journey. And I feel like that's a part of, yeah, this life journey where we realize that like, oh, I know, I have the answer and I can stop externally outsourcing now. And that doesn't mean that you have to stop learning. That doesn't mean you can't stay curious. That doesn't mean that you can't read this book or that book and a podcast, but how do you receive that information? And are you approaching it with like this frenetic anxiety? Like, oh my gosh, I got to search for the answer. Oh my gosh, I got to keep digging. Or is it like, okay, I read that. I'm going to take a moment, just pause and integrate that information and kind of like move slowly from this like embodied space as opposed to like, you know, the panicky fight flight energy. There's a big difference. I think it takes time to really get there because like anyone who is experiencing chronic symptoms, you're living with the perceived threat in your body. You want to fix that. It makes sense that there's a sense of urgency. You're living with that. You can't escape that. Imagine living with a predator all day long, right? It makes sense that there's this protective part of you that's like problem solving, got to do, got to fix, got to find the answer. And it takes continued practice and witnessing and making contact with the part of you that knows. And that often a co-regulating person, a resource, someone such as a somatic experiencing practitioner to guide you back to yourself that can never be destroyed.
You talked a little bit about just now the different parts of you. I hear some like IFS wording for somebody who's never heard of internal family systems or that kind of work. How is it that that tool or other tools throughout your somatic experiencing journey help you reconnect to yourself and regulate that nervous system?
Yeah, I love IFS. It has completely changed my life. And that is a big understatement. I discovered it as I was like stepping into the somatic world. It was created by Dr. Richard Schwartz, Dick Schwartz. He wrote the book, No Bad Parts, and I highly, highly recommend listening to it on audio. He guides you through several practices and stuff, and it just really invited me into a deeper relationship with these parts of me and also how I relate and how I perceive others. It made me feel more safe in the world. It made me feel safer in the presence of others. It all started, I believe, because he was working with patients who struggled with eating disorders. And he noticed this verbiage that they were, this language that they were kind of engaging in, like this, there's this part of me that really wants to binge. And there's this other part of me that really doesn't. So he got curious and noticed that there were these parts that these patients had within them, just as they would their external family system. We have our caregivers, our mom, our dad, our siblings, our children, our pets. And there's also, this internal family system that is consisting of protective parts. So that's divided up into manager parts and firefighters. Manager parts are a little bit proactive. Firefighters are reactive. And that usually comes in the form of like coping strategies, such as the binging, like any addictions that we may have, alcoholism, sex, porn, drugs. And it doesn't have to be that extreme either. It can be shopping, you know, like feeling something big, too much, too fast, too overwhelming, too soon. Oh my gosh, like my default is like, go shopping. Can't feel all that. I'm just going to numb that a little bit. Whereas the manager is more of like this anxiety that surfaces and is thinking a lot about the future, like how they're going to be perceived, the inner critic, the inner judge, the inner bully at the same time. And they're protecting, these protective parts are protecting these exiles that are these core wounds that took place when we're really, really, really young. And there's also the self, the core self. The core self embodies presence and play and curiosity and compassion and has perspective, is courageous, is confident, is creative, all of these beautiful qualities that I think a lot of us really wish we had more of, especially in today's society. And the truth is we do. We do have access to these qualities, but we're not really shown how to navigate contacting that part of us again that can never be destroyed. Because we're so riddled with these aspects of ourselves that have become fragmented because of the accumulated stress and trauma that we've experienced in our lives. So we're operating primarily from these very protective parts, like road rage and anger and lacking compassion for everyone else in the world. And like, you know, you see so much of that. It's so pervasive in today's society. It's like, this way is wrong and that way is right. And da, 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 da. And like, there's no space for communication and understanding. And it takes a well-regulated nervous system to really hold nuance. And again, we're kind of just taught like this left or right way of living and being, black and white rigidity. And we feel inclined or we feel the need to choose one side. And if someone else disagrees with us, like it's like they're canceled, you know, instead of staying curious about that person and saying, you and I don't agree, but like, I still love you and the light of me sees the light of you. Or also that doesn't mean that you have to be friends with this person at the same time. Like, all right, I honor your journey. And it sounds like we need to kind of go separate ways for a little while. And this work is also not about perfection, right? Like we're human. And I think that we can get caught up in in the personal development space as I have, where it can really reinforce these like perfectionist tendencies that we're trying to transform. And that's also a part, right? The perfectionist. Is it the core self that's here, or is it the manager, which does tend to have like more of those perfectionist tendencies? Am I doing this right? How am I being perceived? All of those things. But hopefully that gives your audience a sense of like mapping out their internal family system. Again, protective parts, exiles, and then you have the self.
You mentioned also at the beginning, like you were so focused on healing and then now the perfectionism. I feel like that was also for me related to looking for help externally, because then it was like somebody can tell me if I'm doing it perfectly or not. And there was that like cycle of validation of like, you're taking all the supplements, like you're doing all the right things, like your symptoms are all going to go away. And then they didn't, right? And so I knew that it was something more internal and that there was more work that was needing to be done. One of the things that I've loved watching in your journey of just following you through social media is that I feel like you really went from like working on healing to like living and thriving, at least from what I see from the snippets of what I've seen of your journey. And I know that a big part of that was also ending a relationship. And I'm so curious if you can talk about what that journey was for you in reconnecting with yourself as well.
Yeah. And I really quickly want to mention like what you named earlier about like the healing journey and how it kind of was so hyper-focused. Like it's okay to be focused on your healing. There's nothing wrong with that, but it was the hyper-focusing, the hyper-fixation I had on every little thing. And if I was doing it wrong, like I felt like I was going to feel horrible that day. Like if I missed this one thing in my routine, like, you know, it was all for safety. And if that sounds like anyone who's listening right now, like just taking a brief moment and pausing and noticing the protective part of you that brought you to this work. It's often the managers who bring us to this work, you know? And like, can we acknowledge that? Does it feel authentic to maybe offer a little bit of gratitude for this part of you that brought you here, even though it may have like quote unquote done it wrong, which is not true. It didn't do it wrong. It just did what it knew. And that is self-protective nervous system. And I think that's really what came up for me before my relationship ended. I found myself, this is where I learned about myself, and this is why I do this work. I didn't want my relationship to end up in the divorce that I saw between my parents. And like, what's the divorce rate? Like 50% of marriages end in divorce. So like, I didn't want to end up in that statistic. And so I felt the more personal development I did, the more work we did together, we could avoid that. So again, another manager part here, trying to prevent an outcome from taking place, thinking I had control over the outcome. To an extent, like we do have agency over the trajectory of our relationship and how it pans out. Like, how are we showing up? How are we taking responsibility? All those things, etc. But I was so attached to this outcome that it actually ended up hurting my relationship so much. My person knew that. Like he knew who I was. He knew the work that I was invested in. And he knew I was really passionate about it. He always said, like, you're such a passionate person. You're such, and I am. This is true. Call it my Aries nature. I don't know. I'm really invested in this work. And I think as women, assuming that your audience is mostly women, but they are natural spiritual leaders. We are naturally going to learn faster in this world. We're going to naturally lead our relationships in this way. And I think I always wanted my man to like take the lead. I wanted him to show up to the practices. I wanted him to really devote himself to this work. And at the same time, I had to remember like, no, these are actually like really big feminine qualities that I can reveal to my partner instead of like, I was always asking to be met. What if I did the meeting? What if I gave more than I was trying to receive, right? And that's hard to do with the unintegrated inner girl, inner brat that said so much love, like so much love. But I was very much like, reacting from that lens. And I've taken responsibility for all of it. I've forgiven myself. Like I moved through all the shame that I felt. And it also wasn't one-sided, right? Like there's also things that, you know, he contributed into the unraveling of our relationship and how that transitioned. And it's like actually almost to the day a year later. So this is actually like beautiful timing and like reflecting on this past year and how I went through the darkest of darkest days that one could go through. And oh, like all the grief that I went through was just so much. So I want to pause there before I get like continue rambling on. What was your question again?
Really? I love that. How a letting go can also be where we reconnect to meeting ourselves. And you talked about all these different parts. Like, how was that really reconnecting and like almost communing with self in what it means to be in relationship with self and all the things, like once the grief maybe also has passed and potentially understanding the different attachments of whether it was the idea of what it would be. And yeah, I'm curious if there is anything that resonates in terms of that process for somebody who might be going through it right now.
Yeah. So I didn't realize, I guess my wounding had always been this fear of abandonment and fear of rejection, which I think a lot of people can relate to. Prior to him, I had been in like a 10-year relationship and then I kind of just jumped into this one. So I think this is also another firefighter. Like she's like, oh, can't be by myself. Got to find someone else. And so I entered this partnership and had no time to develop that sense of self, right? So I was always so enmeshed with someone else and their life became my life. And whatever you want to do, like I want to play that role because that regulated my nervous system, right? So long as I had you there, I felt regulated. But God forbid that was taken away from me. I felt a deep sense of rejection and abandonment that aren't even mine. This is where generational trauma piece comes in as well, right? A lot of stuff with my mother, a lot of stuff with my father, feeling that deep sense of unresolved attachment wounding from them. And they don't need to heal themselves in order for me to heal myself. It took a lot of witnessing, resourcing, and this is where the somatic work came in because you weren't just supposed to let go. Letting go happens after we work with the resistance in our nervous system. So what that means is I had to work with it somatically. I had to feel the resistance. I had to go into the cave, so to speak, and really meet the parts of me that were having a really hard time letting go and offering them so much space and so much patience. And, you know, God bless this man. Like he served such an important part of my life where he helped my inner younger parts feel so safe. And I needed that because I didn't know how. I never used that as a child either. So he helped me heal in more ways than he probably knows today. After the resistance, then came this natural letting go. And the letting go doesn't mean that you don't miss the person. You don't love the person. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you're willing to surrender to what is here now and kind of just being with that, this acceptance, this neutrality. The more I grip on and grasp, even if it's energetically, I'm creating this internal suffering for myself. I've latched myself onto the story of what could have been, the potential of us, what we had, the yearning, the longing. I had to work with the despair and the anguish somatically in my body. And that took a lot of practices. I met with my somatic experiencing practitioner. I had the support, the endless support of my friends and loved ones to kind of just witness me as I was going through the depths of my despair. And then once a few months later, I felt more of that self energy that I mentioned earlier come online. The part of me that was always there, the part of me that always knew, even when I was deep in the grief and the despair and the anguish, there was a little voice just deep, deep, deep within my soul that was like, you're going to look back on this day and you're going to be like, wow, this is not forever. And like, it was such a small voice, and we have to make contact with that when they're going through grief and challenge and triumph and all those things, even if it's so small, because you're going to be piled with like all of these protective parts. Oh, like I can't live. I can't survive. And what am I going to do? Where's my life going? Oh my gosh. The crumbling of my life that took place. I didn't know who I was. Did I want to do somatic work anymore? There was a time where I really like resisted it and was like, I can't do this. But I naturally came back to my inner template and what my soul was meant to do here on this earth. And I think that just happens through surrendering to what is here now, fully feeling your grief because you can't experience your pleasure without it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So what does that look like today? Are you utilizing kind of a mix of all of the different practices and things that you've learned in order to help other women? Like you went, as you said at the beginning, from doing a lot of testing and helping create protocols and things like that to now having had the somatic experience. What does it look for you to bring this work, as you said, that you're meant to be doing in this world?
Yeah. So a lot of the women that are coming to me from the functional medicine space are still very much like in their heads, right? Like they've had to be analytical and logical, especially in a very hyper masculine world, right? Yeah. Like we're not really taught how to in our bodies. So I always meet my clients like where they're at. And initially there may be more talking in a session, and that there's more meaning, like they're intellectualizing a lot of their pain that they're experiencing, right? So it's so important to hear that and also pause them as they're kind of telling their story, just to kind of like start practicing what they're noticing in their bodies as they're telling the story. And so that's when we start to kind of wake up the nervous system and like, oh, there's sensation here. Like didn't feel that before. And over time, I mean, like months and years of work, they will start to notice that they're living from more of this embodied space and this connected space to their bodies and their nervous systems, as opposed to just operating from this headspace, very cerebral activity going on when we first meet. It's been really amazing work to witness my clients go from that to being able to just like experience the sensations in their bodies and like move from those spaces. And when we drop the story, when we drop the attachment to the story that we've created in our minds, we can just like flow effortlessly in our bodies. And that is where our power is unlocked. That's where we unlock your vitality, right? Because it all resides within our bodies, especially as feminine beings. And it is unfortunate that the world is kind of just mostly set up in a way to support men. And, you know, we don't say that in like a very like victim, like, you know, mentality headspace, but it's just kind of like the truth, you know, the linear structure of our work days and, you know, the demands that are placed upon us, especially for mothers, gosh, the demand on them. I'm like, it makes sense that you're feeling this way. Like, and our bodies can't adapt without compensating in the form of symptoms. So we're seeing a lot of burnt out, stressed women who may not really even have the agency to say, I want to live a different life. I mean, yes, that's a part of it. It's a conscious choice, but also like sometimes that's just not the reality for a lot of people.
Yeah. Especially in the way that you talked about your healing process and giving yourself a lot of time and space for processing and for having these different parts. Like I've also in my personal journey completely changed my lifestyle and went from being a tech startup founder in the Bay Area and completely burnt out to what I do now. And part of the answer has been slower living and taking time and noticing. And that also, I realize I'm very privileged to be able to do that from a financial perspective and from what living in this capitalist world means. And there is a part of like, I want to take it back to something that you said also in terms of relationship of like you were bringing yourself into somebody else's life. And for me, part of starting that agency of speaking out and really choosing and understanding what my body was wanting and the life that I was wanting to create showed up in relationship anxiety with my now husband. At the beginning, it was like, I just wanted to please him, coming from that martyr and that victim, right? And like making sure that he's good and happy. And there was like resentment slowly building. And then there needed to be, and it was through work and therapy and these things of like, actually, my problem isn't about you. My problem is with the fact that I'm not listening to me. And in this patriarchal world that we live in, it's really difficult to connect and tune into that. And it just goes back to what we said, right, of connecting and tuning in. And I'm wondering your thoughts on, for somebody who's maybe wanting a slower life and feels that, like, how do I even start to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something I'm really passionate about sharing, because it's like, I don't expect you to just sit around and do nothing. And I think that's often what women, you got to slow down. And it's like, but I can't. And this is where somatic work comes into the picture. And it's so profound how your life is literally going to change when you start to wake up the somatic nervous system, when you start to tap into your sensory awareness as you're doing the dishes. What is it that you notice? Can you hear the sound of the running water? Can you feel the warmth of the water up against your skin? Can you hear the dishes clinking? Can you hear the sound of your children running around in the background? What does that do on the inside as you're noticing? Even as I say that, like, my shoulders want to relax, you know, opens, authentic gratitude comes through. And maybe that doesn't happen at first. Like, this is just my experience. I've been doing this work for, you know, a few, even before I heard about somatic experiencing, I was subtly doing these things. And to the woman who doesn't feel that gratitude by noticing these things, for the woman who feels numb, right? Like, I work with a lot of clients who are kind of just like, they notice the dishes and the dishes are dishes. You know, it's not like this moment of awe and, like, you know, ease and gratitude. And it's not this full somatic experience, but the somatic experience is that you're noticing that there's a numbness here. And can we not shame ourselves for that? Can we just notice this is our current experience? And as you continue to do this work over and over and over again, continued practice over time, you're chipping away at that layer of armor, shield, protection that had to emerge in order to protect yourself from stressful periods of your life.
Yeah.
Right. Especially as a mother, I imagine that, like, blinders go up, you're hyper-focused on your, I'm not a mother yet, but like, that's just what I imagine. With the mothers that I do work with, it's just kind of like, it's all laser focus on the kids. Nothing else matters. You kind of lose that sense of self, especially because they may not have had the opportunity to really spend time with themselves and really lay out that foundation. But that doesn't mean you can't when you're a mother. You're definitely allowed to set aside moments of those moments of slowness. And that is, I feel like that the first step that we take to living a slower life. It doesn't mean that you do less, or maybe sometimes it does. Maybe you just have piled way too much on your plate, which is also a symptom of flight energy, right? But as you go about your day, can you just take moments where you pause and notice what you're doing? And that brings you into more presence into your day-to-day, instead of like thinking about the list that you have in the back of your mind. What am I doing next? What am I doing next? What am I doing next? And having grace with that manager part of you that is working so hard to keep things structured and in line and organized so that you can have a smooth day. And like, hopefully the kids are safe and protected and taken care of and all those things. You know, we need these parts of us. They're there for a reason, purpose. And I think, yeah, this is all Dick Schwartz work. I'm so grateful for him.
I think what came up for me when you were saying that is that maybe instead of the way I've been looking at it as a slower lifestyle, it's also just creating more space. Because what you shared about doing the dishes, it's like, how often do you wash the dishes without watching a show, without listening to a podcast, without calling somebody on the phone even? Like, we, I think, less and less have those moments of space. And I even recognize it in myself of like, oh, I'm going to go on a walk. Like, first thing I'm going to do is put in a podcast. And then like 5 minutes in, I'm like, wait, I'm not listening to this, what's going on, because there's so much other things going on in my head and I actually need to hit pause and like notice for a while. And then maybe if I feel like it later, I will listen. But I think it's also coming back to creating space to even be able to listen to what's going on within.
Yeah, exactly. How can we get to know our own voice if we're just constantly listening to music and podcasts and YouTube videos and our friends and their dilemmas and everything? Of course, like these things are beautiful. And are we resourced enough to be able to take in that information and actually integrate it? Because I think that was one of the biggest things that I did. Stepping into the world of personal development, I was like, books, 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 podcasts, podcasts, podcasts. And I, you know, again, manager part here, just wanted to learn so much in order to fix something. Felt like something was wrong with me, felt like something was broken. And I had to come back to myself. And I, you know, for me, it took like burning out from all that. I was like, I can't do it anymore. And, now I notice that like I'll be eating and I'll just be eating like nothing else in the background. And like, that's uncomfortable for a lot of people. Here's what I noticed this past weekend with myself. I think I have been busier and working. And this past weekend, I was like, there's nothing really on my plate. I felt like this wave of like heaviness and grief. And as I was like celebrating like my birthday and like a year later of like from heartbreak and stuff, I was like, oh, this is here. And it makes sense that this is here because I'm actually creating space for it. People want to pile up their schedules, or may not want to, but they don't realize that they're unconsciously doing it as a form of avoidance, right? We see workaholism that is firefighter right there in order to numb. And that it's so protective. Like that's what I did a couple years ago, exiting my last relationship. I just went full force into my business. And ultimately it supported me in like so many ways. It helped me. And at the same time, like that doesn't mean that the stuff just goes away. And so I think that's why a lot of people kind of just, yeah, turn on the podcast or listen to background noise. They don't necessarily have to like think about the things that are yet to be resolved.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This has been such a beautiful conversation. I feel like we could just keep going and going and going. I really, really appreciate the way that your journey has shaped and the way that you're verbalizing it with us. It's really helpful. I'm curious, do you know your human design?
I'm a manifester.
I'm a projector.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know much about human design at all. I just know that manifestors aren't supposed to like complete the job. They're kind of just the idea. And there needs to be like a team to execute. I'm like, that makes so much sense. Like I have no ideas that it's hard for me to really complete everything. And that also being like an Aries.
Yeah. You need people to help pull you down back to earth.
Lots of that. But, and that manifestors are like, what, like 7% of the nation or population? I don't know. Again, I need to do more research.
I also don't know a ton about it. I was getting an inclination that maybe you were also a projector because we're very much like the teachers and the guides. And like sharing those things and just the way that I was receiving your information, I was like, I wonder, but I don't know enough about it. So that was my personal curiosity. We end every episode of the show with a few questions that I'd love to ask you. The first one is, how do you unlock your vitality these days?
Over the past couple of years, I really leaned into the word nourishment, and not just in the sense of like food, good nutrition, but what nourishes me? And that changes every single day. And so I've stepped away from like routines and stuff. And just as you get into somatic work, you realize like how much that like, it just really comes from like this disembodied place. And I think initially structure and routine is so supportive and it kind of just sets like the masculine container, like, all right, here's what we're going to do. And it's kind of just like a foundation and you can branch off. And so the forms of nourishment that unlock my vitality, again, change every day, but it comes back down to one thing, like what brings me a sense of pleasure. And through savoring that pleasant experience, I feel that vitality. This is something I work with women on because, you know, they're experiencing adrenal fatigue and they're like pumping the adrenal cocktails and flooding themselves with like minerals and all that. And it's beautiful. Like that's a part of it. And also like, what is sparking your joy? What is sparking your pleasure? What are you doing that's giving you a sense of fulfillment in your life? And that is one of the hardest questions to sit with, you know, and I think it changes through life and there are different seasons for everything. That's a huge piece of what's missing, I think, in the nutrition space and why so many women are burnt out. They're doing a lot of what they don't want to do and feel obligated to do as opposed to like what they're inspired to do, which is so much of the feminine. And so taken away from that. And I feel like to really unlock, I just associate vitality with like our feminine nature and also containment at the same time, which is the masculine. I feel like experiencing pleasure of like walking in nature or sipping my warm cup of tea or feeling my body in this chair as I'm here having a beautiful conversation with you. Like this is bringing me so much pleasure in my body and I can really feel that and savor that experience in my body. The way I pet my dogs, the way I bathe in a warm bath of like rose petals and candles, that is like the resource that I need in order to move through the world with more inner stability, groundedness, and openness to what may come into my day that day.
So beautiful. I love that. The next question is, what do you say no to these days? Or what have you had to say no to recently?
I've had to say no to friends. This is a huge part of my winter, partially why it was just so like dark, because I had to say no to people that were no longer supposed to come into the next phase of my life with me. And that's hard to do as someone who has had tendencies towards like people pleasing, not wanting anyone else to feel hurt, but ultimately knowing that I had to do right by myself and I wasn't going to get to where I need to be if I'm continuing to entertain what's no longer for me. So saying that no also supports them, you know, even if it hurts. And same like how my ex was the one to do like the initiating of the breakup initially. And he gave me a gift by saying, oh, it may sting. And it, yeah, feeling that sting, feeling the ouch is so important. But if that is what one person feels is right to do to end relationship, it may not make sense now, but it will one day. And that I know is so cliche to say, but it's just so true. You're going to receive confirmation in one way, shape, or form.
I love that. So beautiful.
Yeah.
The last question I'll ask you is, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Thank you so much. Like, oh, I remember writing a post at the beginning of this year of like all my New Year's reflections and stuff. And I swear there were like 100 things on there. One thing I really struggled with when I was younger was feeling the need to prove myself to others that I was worthy of receiving their love. And that is something that I deeply ached for. And not just friends. I'm talking like family too. Like I needed to perform for their love. And I would just tell that younger version of me that all you have to do is root into who you authentically are, who God made you to be in his image. And everything else will fall into place. You will magnetize all the people that are meant to fall into your life. And at the same time, I trust my path so much that I think all of that needed to unravel so that I can get to where I am today. And again, like the hero's journey, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of little girls connect to needing to hear that. So thank you so much. Thank you for this whole conversation, for your vulnerability and generosity with us. It's been really a pleasure, and I can't wait for everybody to listen.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. See you next week. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you loved this episode as much as I did. If you are enjoying the show, please feel free to rate and review, share it with a friend. This is truly how we are able to grow. So whether you are listening on Kajabi directly, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or on Google, any way that you can just share it with a friend, and even through social media, letting us know what you loved about it, what you got out of the episode. And if you haven't yet, you can subscribe or rate and review depending on all the places that you get your podcasts. But I just wanted to say a big, big thank you. If this is the first episode you've ever listened to, or if you've been here for a while, or if you've been here since the very beginning, Unlocking My Vitality has been a beautiful journey into learning, actually. And this podcast has really helped me learn through different people, through your feedback, through, just seeing and hearing beautiful women and the work that they're doing and sharing it with the world. So thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week. Bye.